It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susanna Wensby is cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 14th of September, the 257th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 108 days left in 2024. Before we get started, I have a few items on the shopping list for you. One, how do you listen every week to the Sound Kitchen? Through our website, rfienglish.com, or through one of those listening apps like Spotify and the like. Do you listen on your phone or from your computer? Let us know. We're just curious. Two, remember, Erwan and I regularly make up shows with your requested music. Be sure you send in your musical requests so they can be included in a future program. And don't forget to tell us why you like the piece. When did you first hear it? Does the music remind you of an important event in your life? What is it about the piece that touches you? Send your musical request to the Sound Kitchen at rfi.fr. That's the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr. Three, your essays. I'm especially fond of essays written on the theme, This I Believe. Inspired by Edward Murrow, the great American radio journalist, every evening on his radio show in the 1950s, a listener would read an essay about the principles that guided his life. This is how Murrow introduced the series.
This I Believe. By that name, we bring you a new series of radio broadcasts presenting the personal philosophies of thoughtful men and women in all walks of life. In this brief time each night, a banker or a butcher, a painter or a social worker, people of all kinds who need have nothing more in common than integrity, a real honesty, will talk out loud about the rules they live by, the things they have found to be the basic values in their lives.
I also want to hear your stories about your ordinary heroes, the people in your community who are doing extraordinary things and working to make the world a better place. It's about the teacher who inspires, the dedicated nurse, the neighbor who's always there. As listener Pramod Maheshwari said, just as small drops of water can fill a pitcher, small acts of kindness can change the world. Or how about an essay about a book that changed your perception of life? A man or woman whose actions inspired you to get involved in community activism, no matter how big or small. Descriptions of your local festivals. Be imaginative, and most of all, be yourself. Here's Laura Angela with the address.
You can write to Susan at the Sound Kitchen at rfi.fr. That's the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
Thanks, Laura Angela. Paul Myers is taking a good long holiday after his hectic summer covering the Olympics, but we have our magic mixer, Erwan Rome, back with us, and he's cooked up a tasty dessert for you on Music from Erwan. There's the listener's corner with your answers to the bonus questions, too, but first...
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, 'cause it's... time for the quiz. On the 15th of July, Rwandans were voting for their next president, as well as the members of the country's 80-seat lower house of parliament. There was little doubt that the current president, Paul Kagame, would win his fourth term, and he did, with 99.18% of the vote. There actually were two opposition candidates. which you read about in our article, Rwanda heads to the polls to likely re-elect Kagame for fourth term. You were to send in the answer to this question. What are the names of the two opposition candidates who ran against the incumbent president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, in the 15 July polls? The answer is Democratic Green Party leader Frank Habineza and the independent Philip Mpayimana. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question, what do you think young people should do? Should they work, save, ensure their future, and put off traveling until they're more established? Or should they seize the day and go while they're young? The question was suggested by Rodrigo Hunriche from Ciudad de Concepcion, Chile. You'll hear the answers later in the listener's corner, so don't touch that dial. The winners of this week's quiz are RFI Listener's Club member Radhakrishna Pillai from Kerala State in India. Radhakrishna is also this week's bonus question winner. He wrote, "The youth should work. They have the potential to bring about positive change and make a significant contribution to society. Their fresh perspectives and energy help drive economic development and social progress. The involvement of young people in social change is essential to creating a better future for all of us." Congratulations on your double win, Radhakrishna. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are two RFI Listeners Club members from Bangladesh, Sharifa Akhtar Pana from Kishoreganj, and Farouk Ahmed from Dhaka. There's also club member Zenon Telas from Goa, India. Zenon is also the president of the Christian Marxist Leninist Maoist Association of Listening DXers. Last but not least, there's RFI English listener Zanatul Zuti from Narayanganj, Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. Algerians went to the polls this past Sunday to elect their president. The incumbent, Abdelmadjid Tebboune, was re-elected. RFI English reporter Melissa Shimam followed the race closely. The day after the election, she wrote an article for us, High Expectations, as Algeria's President Tebboune begins new mandate. Her article is about what's on Tebboune's presidential plate economically and socially for his next mandate. There are several worries in civil society. As Melissa noted, and I quote, "The first mandate of President Tebboune saw a clampdown on civil liberties and seen the army take on a more important role," end quote. You can hear more about rights concerns in Algeria on Melissa's latest Spotlight on Africa podcast. The question for you today is about the Algerian army and its more important role. In August, a few days before Tebboune declared his candidacy, a decree was issued involving the army. What was that decree? What will the army now be in charge of? Reread Melissa Shimam's article, High Expectations as Algeria's President Tebboune Begins New Mandate, and send in the answer to this question. What new authority was the Algerian army given in a decree published in August? What will the army now be in charge of? You'll find Melissa's article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. This week's bonus question is from Ashik Iqbal Tokon from Rajshahi, Bangladesh, who wrote that his bonus question was inspired by the recent student movement in his country, where the color red was used as a symbol of protest. So he wants to know, and so do we, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word red? He did a little poll of those around him and noted some interesting comments, but I'm not going to tell you until we read the answers because I don't want you to be influenced by what Ashik heard. So, quick and honest, What is the first thing you think of when you hear the word red? And now you will discover just how superficial Susan is. I immediately think of a fabulous red dress I had in my early 20s. Oh, how gorgeous I felt in that dress. What about you? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word red? And don't forget, we're happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. And thanks again, Ashik, for the suggestion. You have until the 7th of October to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question to me. Be sure to tune in on the 12th of October to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. You can also text your answer to the Sound Kitchen mobile phone. Dial +336 31 12 9682. That's +336 31 12 9682. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI club membership number.
I'm Nasser Balahi. Hello from Iraq.
You know what that means. It's time for the Listener's Corner. The question you answered this week, suggested by Rodrigo Hunriche from Ciudad de Concepción in Chile, was, what do you think young people should do? Should they work, save, ensure their future, and put off traveling until they're established? Or should they seize the day and go while they're young? Let's start with those who say work. That's the opinion of Malik Alabachaya Kokar, who wrote, "They should work. Youth unemployment is high and it's difficult to get a job. So if, when young, they don't get a job and qualifications, their adult lives will be a mess." Kashif Khalil is with you, Malik. He wrote, "For me, the young people must work and hard for their family's future and especially for their parents who have always looked after them." And who says, travel now? Salim Akhtar does because, as he wrote, young people like to travel and see the beauty of nature. Jayanta Chakrabarty does too. He wrote, it's always wise to travel when you're young, energetic, and inquisitive. Forget about your pocketbook. You can travel on a shoestring budget. Think of traveling as an adventure. Planning travel in your youth is also beneficial when you're not burdened with a family, and so can travel wherever and whenever you feel like a free bird. Hans Werner Lolica agrees. Here's what he thinks. If you have the possibility financially, you should travel as a young person. Make your travel an educational process, and try to make friends from other cultures and keep those friends forever. Personally, I had the luck both to work for a period and to get a grant to be a camp counselor at YMCA Camp Duncan, close to Chicago in the U.S. One of the people I met was Norbert Bergmann from Berlin, and we have kept in contact for 55 years. When I finished my job at the YMCA camp, I traveled in the U.S. to meet members of my family who had immigrated many years ago. We lost all contact during World War II. Since then, we've stayed in close contact, and we'll be visiting a whole bunch of them in a few weeks. I am sure I became a better student and a wiser pastor by traveling. Update. Hans and his wife Inga-Lisa are in the U.S. right now, visiting with those far-flung cousins who immigrated from Denmark to the U.S. so very long ago. I know you're looking forward to hearing about their travels, as am I. How about those who said both? Father Stephen Wara is in that camp. He wrote, "For me, the matter is simple and straightforward. They should do both. But meantime, try to keep traveling to the barest minimum and work and save for the future, which will automatically ensure they will have more opportunities and resources in the future for more extensive travels. Helmut Matt agrees. He wrote both work and travel. As our famous German writer Johann Wolfgang Goethe wrote in his ballad Der Schatzgräber, work during the day, guests in the evening, sour weeks, happy festivals. Be your future magic world. Let's end with Dipita Chakrabarty. She wrote, I think they should do both. Travel when young, as well as traveling after becoming established. Touring while young is full of adventure and excitement, climbing mountains, rafting through turbulent rivers, and exploring those mysterious caves. Traveling later in life has its own charm. You are more mature, wise, and deep-pocketed, and you can visit those faraway places that you've dreamt of. And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question is, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word red? It was suggested by Ashik Ekbal Tokan from Rajshahi, Bangladesh. Do you have a bonus question idea? If so, send it to us at the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr. That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating.
This is the Sound Kitchen and Susan Owensby's cooking.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining me in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, emails, and text messages coming. Many, many thanks to Erwan Rome for his mixing mastery and his input. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week, the 21st of September, for the answer to the question, who is Leon and why is he allowed to go fast? The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. Today, Erwan pays tribute to the great Brazilian pianist and songwriter Sergio Mendes, who died earlier this month. He was born in 1941 in Niterói, Brazil. He moved to the United States in 1961. By 1964, with his ensemble Sergio Mendes and Brazil 65, he'd recorded two well-received albums. Then he formed Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66 and recorded a new album with the same name, which featured the song Mas Que Nada by his fellow Brazilian, Jorge Ben, and the rest is history. Mas Que Nada went platinum. As Colin Larkin wrote in his book, The Virgin Encyclopedia of Popular Music, and I quote, though his early singles with Brazil 66, most notably Mas Que Nada, met with success, Mendes really burst into mainstream prominence when he performed the Oscar-nominated song The Look of Love on the Academy Awards telecast in April 1968. Brazil 66 version of the song quickly shot up to number 4 on the Billboard charts, surpassing Dusty Springfield's version from the James Bond film Casino Royale. End quote. From 1968 on, Sergio Mendes was arguably the most famous Brazilian star in the world. He played in huge concert venues, including stadiums. He even played for two sitting U.S. presidents. I have most of his albums. They were my parents. I grew up listening to Mendes. Here are just a few of his awards. The 1993 Grammy Best World Music Album for Brasileiro, the album that made him the undisputed master of pop-inflected Brazilian jazz. And two Latin Grammy Awards, the Lifetime Achievement Award in 2005, and the Best Brazilian Contemporary Pop Album for Bom Tempo, in 2010. Sergio Mendes had a long and successful career, and I just know he's up there right now making the angels dance. Rest in peace, Maestro Mendes. The piece Erwan chose for you was written by two members of the Beatles, John Lennon and Paul McCartney. It's called Day Tripper. You've surely heard it before, but have you heard this version of it? It's pretty nice. Thanks, Erwan, for the wonderful choice. Roll back the rugs, everyone, and get up and groove. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, don't confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends. Talk to y'all next week.
Thank you.